Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening and welcome. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here. We'll be here till midnight, as I said. You can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs. You can go to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, from there. That's where I'm the pastor, and certainly invite you to visit us there. And you can find out more about our church that way as well. And you can read a variety of articles that I have there, the latest one dealing with pie in the Bible. And there's a number of other materials there. And let's see, I just want to point out, too, that... what was I going to point out here? I was going to point out our social media thing. That's what I was looking for here. I was scanning through here and couldn't find it. There it is. And we got a variety of social media sites that we have things on, everything from Facebook to Gab to Getter to MeWe to Truth Social and Telegram and all sorts of different things. You can check us out there on livewithpastoral.com. There's a variety of things there for you. All right, we're going to get back to our program. As I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I was talking to Terry before the break there. Terry, you still with us there?
Yes.
All right. Hey, Terry, I've got another caller who's calling in who wants to give us an update on something. Would you want to wait a minute?
Sure.
We got something noise coming through your phone, too, there. But we'll pick up Terry back in a few minutes. But I want to go over to Jim calling in from Mayfield, and then we'll get back to Terry later. Jim, are you there with us?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Hi, thanks. Good evening, I have to say Happy Easter to you, because if I remember correctly, you're Orthodox, right?
Correct. Thank you very much. I just got, today I grilled over 150 lamb chops.
Oh, my.
Family. Yep, it was, everyone enjoyed them. It was fantastic. I love doing that.
That sounds good, actually. And just as a quick aside, I learned to eat lamb when I was in the Air Force Station in England, and I remember going into a restaurant in Scotland, and I don't remember it was somebody of a Middle Eastern background. It might have been, it was either Turkish or something like that, but they had a lamb shank that, you know, they kind of arranged it on the plate. And it was broiled, and it was sort of sitting upright on the plate like a little mountain, with kind of a gravy with little like vegetables and stuff kind of drizzled all down the side and some potatoes around the side of it. And I had never had lamb that was that good in my life. It was just fantastic. And I've been a fan of lamb shank ever since. It was just so good.
Well, if you like lamb shanks, you need to come to St. Constantine's and Helen's Orthodox Festival. Mm. And we have the best lamb shanks around.
It's kind of interesting. I was in here Friday wrapping up our Friday program, and I saw somebody come in the lobby outside the studio. I saw him through the window as I was finishing up the Friday afternoon program, and I saw him look and see me and then wave, and I realized who it was. It was actually Brian Williams, who happens to be the head of the Summit County Republican Party. and he's Greek Orthodox. And so he was coming in to record something, and he was going to be using the studio that I was in. So then after I got finished, he was out there, and I had to hurry, get my stuff out of the way so he could get in here. And I was talking to him, and he was telling me about getting ready for Easter today as well. That was this past Friday. And
I actually know him.
Oh, you know him?
I actually know him.
Okay, yeah.
He's actually a real good friend of my cousin's, who that's where I was at the heart of their house cooking the lamb chops for. Brian and his wife weren't able to be there because he was busy and all.
Small world, huh?
Yep, yes it is.
But you know, that's...
But I wanted...
Yeah, go ahead. Get back to your thing there.
Yeah, I told you last time I called, I went in for an ultrasound. I was going in for an ultrasound on the prostate. And nothing's definitive, but they did find some issues there. So I need to go in for a biopsy sometime this week. I'm calling tomorrow to a schedule. They said they'd call me within a few days. And, well, they didn't call me Thursday or Friday, so I called on Friday, and of course the extension person didn't answer, and and the voicemail was full. So what are you gonna do? So I'm gonna call tomorrow and get that work to get that scheduled so I can get that biopsy and see what's happening.
All right. Well, we'll certainly have to continue to pray for you.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm just not sure, you know. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, I know God's, you know, in my corner. I've got wonderful friends and family, and a lot of people praying for me, and that's what it's about. You know, this is when life gets really real.
Right.
You know,
right.
And you just, like I told you, I called you, what was that? Lord, that was in 2023, after my dad passed away.
Right.
I called you because I needed some guidance and support.
Right.
That was about 2 months after he passed. I was just not having a good day. So... But, you know, and now, okay, so this is what's happening, and hey, what are you going to do? You just deal with it, and you wait to see what happens, and you don't ruminate over it, because that drives people crazy.
Well, that's where you, so, like you said, you put yourself in the Lord's hands.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. So I just wanted to, you and your screener have been awesome. I just wanted just to say thanks, and you know, I appreciate all your support and all your prayers.
All right. Well, we'll continue to pray, and I'm sure that people listening will continue to pray for you as well. You know, there's nothing that beats prayer, that's for sure. So.
Yep. Oh. And I still have to get to your pizza place.
There at East Coast Pizza, yes, in Garfield Heights.
Yep.
Well worth it.
I still have to get there.
Well worth it. So, all right. Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. We'll be praying for you.
Thanks, Pastor Earl. God bless.
All right. God bless. And again, happy rest of the day, Easter.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. All right. You are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to get back to Terry here. And Terry, thanks for letting us interrupt your call there a minute. And
that's an important call.
Yeah, I have to admit I did get a little distracted by him talking about grilling all the lamb. I remember now. Kenny's getting in on this.
You sure did. I could see you salivating over there. There's drool coming off your lips.
I remember places that I've been by the foods that I've eaten there.
I think he almost had you converted to Orthodox.
I was just for the day to have just some for of that the day. Lamb.
Yes.
But I think of places that I've been, you know, places where I've traveled. And Terry, I think you got something going with your phone there. We're getting a little scratchy something there. Or you want to on a speaker or hands-free or something?
Oh, it's gone now.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I don't know, like a bunch of zippers going and everything.
I had a hard time. I had a hard time earlier getting through. Maybe it must be a bad connection somewhere. But
yeah, no, you sound fine. Fine right now. But yeah, I was just starting to say, I remember places where I've traveled by, you know, like some places down south, the type of barbecue that they had there, or some places out west where I remember having some Mexican food at this one place. And I just remember places where I've been by a lot of the foods that I've eaten there. So that's why I'm looking forward to heaven, because, you know, one of the first things that we have in heaven waiting for us, it's in Revelation 19. I just give you this as a bonus since we're on food. Got to turn the food around to something at least somewhat biblical, right? But in Revelation 19, this is what it says here in Revelation 19. And let's see here. It says in verse number 6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And then here it is in verse 9. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." How's that? A big feast in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
And I think all the food that we've enjoyed here on earth, none of it is going to compare with what we find there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to that too. So
I was gonna bring up you know, there's actually 12 of them. I know we don't have much time, but I'll bring up a couple of them.
Yeah,
it's talking about the dangers of the Reformed teaching.
Uh-huh.
And one thing that I thought I'd bring up is that the one problem that I think it's a problem, the dangers of adding additional requirements to saving faith.
Yes.
So, actually, the one I was going to bring up is the dangers of teaching that faith is a gift of God. Now, I believe that salvation is the gift of God. In the studying I've been doing,
mm-hmm.
not the faith, but the gift of God is salvation.
Yeah,
I've done some.
Yeah, go ahead.
Studying on that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at something here. I had thought with that, but go ahead while you're. I'll look for this while you're talking.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying in Hebrews chapter 6 here, there we are, and this is something that people on the other side of the coin, you know, that follow the Arminian theology, they misinterpret this because they think this is talking about somebody losing their salvation. But in Hebrews chapter 6, he's talking about something that has to occur because, and I'm just fitting this in with what you're saying, because you know, we know that, you know, Paul had written, and I know I said Hebrews chapter 6, but I just got to read something over here in 1 Corinthians real quick, too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here, in verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So the unsaved person cannot understand the gospel message in and of themselves, except that the Spirit of God moves on his heart. And that's what Paul's writing about in Hebrews chapter 6, where he says in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put into open shame." He's talking about an unsaved person who the Spirit of God moves on their heart, and he does what they cannot do. He gives them understanding of the spiritual truth of the gospel message. Because as Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man, that's the unsaved person, he can't understand it. It's foolishness to him. So the only way an unsaved person can understand the gospel is if the Spirit of God moves on their heart. Now, there's a miracle that takes place to give them enlightenment. It uses the term enlightenment here. That's because they're enlightened to see the truth, which they couldn't see before. And when they see the truth, they taste of the heavenly gift, but they haven't ingested it, so to speak. They haven't imbibed it. They've tasted it to see that it's good. And in doing so, they've been a partaker of the Holy Ghost because it's the Holy Ghost moving on their heart to enable them to see this. And then it says in verse 5 there, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the word to world to come. So they've tasted, but they haven't ingested it. It's like we're talking about food earlier. This kind of ties in. You go to a banquet or something, and there's foods that perhaps you've never seen before. And you look at it and you're thinking, I don't know if that's any good or not. What do? Stick a big spoon in there, a big fork in there, and a big mouthful and chew it up and swallow it? No, you usually sniff it, you look at it, and then maybe you just take the little bit of a taste. And sometimes that little bit of a taste, you think, I don't want this, and you spit it out, right? Because you don't want it. Yep. You tasted it and you made the decision, I don't want this. Sometimes you taste it and you say, you know what? This is great. My wife and daughter and I and one of the men from our church went out. There's a local ice cream place in Richfield where I'm at, Country Made Ice Cream. They make all their own ice cream there, and it's fantastic ice cream. And I hadn't had their banana ice cream in a long time, and so I decided to have their banana ice cream, and really good. And my daughter had never had their banana ice cream. And she said, can I have a little taste of that? And she took a little taste, and she's like, wow, that's good. Want to trade? She wanted to eat the whole thing because she tasted it and decided, I want this. She said, the next time I go back, I'm going to get the banana. And it was a taste. Now, she had some coconut ice cream, which is a new flavor that they had, and I had never had their coconut ice cream. And I asked for a taste of it that she had. And it was good, but it's not something that I would want to get myself again, as a whole thing of it. I just, taste it. Yeah, it was okay, but I don't really want to get it. So I tasted it. I decided it wasn't for me. But she tasted what I had and decided, man, I want that. And that's what happens with the gospel. The Spirit of God enlightens the unsaved person. They get a taste, and some people will say, I want that. And other people say, not for me. But now...
It says that God...
What's that?
I was going to say there's something here that I've been reading. I've been studying this subject, actually, what you're just talking about somewhat.
Uh-huh.
It says he often allows men to have their own way and go their own way according to their stubbornness.
Exactly.
Their own sinful hearts.
Yeah.
God was willing, but they were not. God would, but they would not.
Right. Exactly.
Talking about the Jews, like how many times that God had gave the Jews the chance to repent and trust God, but they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And
wanted to do it their own way.
Yeah, and so what God does is he gives us the ability to understand the gospel where we wouldn't have had it normally. The Calvinistic position that a lot of the Reformed have, they believe that, well, the person gets saved, and now that they're saved, they can understand the gospel and they can trust Christ as their Savior, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
No. Why do you have to trust Christ as your Savior if you're already saved? But the unsaved person cannot understand the gospel until the Spirit of God moves on their heart. This is why we should pray for unsaved people. But when the Spirit of God moves on the heart, he doesn't force people to get saved. That's where the choice for the individual to say, I choose to believe, comes in, I think.
Yeah, I read quite a bit of this tonight. God's willingness and man's unwillingness.
Yeah.
Problem for extreme Calvinists.
Yeah.
And then it talks a lot about, their stubbornness that they always had, eh?
Yeah.
And man's stubbornness.
Like, yeah.
We have a choice. We either believe or we don't believe.
Yeah. And, see.
There's no other way around it.
Yeah. And see, this is where, both the Calvinist and the Arminianist, missed the boat. because the Calvinist thinks it's all God, man has nothing to do with it, and the Arminian thinks that it's all man. You know, you believe and it's all your choice, and you can choose to stop believing and lose your salvation, all that. Both of them are wrong, but you know, God gave us free will, which the Calvinist doesn't accept. And the free will means that when he makes the truth known to us, it's up to us whether we say yay or nay to the gospel.
Yeah, and there's a lot of scriptures that I looked up in the Old Testament when God was dealing with the Jews. You know, he gave them free will.
Exactly. And, you know, the free will to be able to say yes also means to be able to say no.
Right.
So
that's not hard to do.
Yeah.
To say yes, or all we have to do is say yes.
Yeah.
Yes to God.
But
no to our flesh.
But
people don't understand that we live in a sinful nature, and that's the problem.
Yeah. And again, that's where the Spirit of God's got to move on our heart and enlighten us and give us, you know, that ability to see and to understand it, because it's not naturally in us. That, which is another reason why we need to pray for unsaved people, because oftentimes they don't know and understand their need of salvation until the Spirit of God begins working on their heart, and oftentimes that's not until somebody starts praying for them.
That's right. Yeah, prayer could go a long ways. That's one of the problems we run into is when we don't pray.
Yeah.
And ask God for help.
Yeah.
And I know I run into that problem myself.
Yeah. And
I run into trouble if I don't ask God.
Yeah. And when it comes to reaching people with the gospel, if we do it all on our own, we're doomed to fail.
Right.
We need to ask for God's help, and we need to ask God. You can't argue somebody into getting saved. You just can't do it. You can't force somebody to get saved.
We're blue in the face.
Yeah.
We could do that until we're blue in the face, but I won't do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's people who have been inoculated against the gospel because they've had people force the gospel down their throat and not let go until they make a prayer.
Yeah, and that's not good either.
Yeah. I saw somebody at a local fair one time corral some young people. It was a booth, you know, trying to reach people with the gospel. And he corralled some young people. It'd be preteens. They were, you know, right in that 10, 12-year-old range. And he corralled several. There was like four or five of them. And he would not let them go until they prayed a prayer. They prayed a prayer. And he said, well, amen, you're all saved. Praise the Lord. Gave them some literature and some pocket Bibles and sent them on their way. And I watched, and they didn't get very far. Less than 20 feet away, there was a trash can. They all laughed and threw everything in the trash can. They didn't get saved.
No.
Not with that kind of a reaction. They were forced to pray a prayer in order to get away. And, you know,
I believe that not everybody that goes to church are believers either.
Exactly.
People go to church because it's the thing to do, they think.
Yeah, I heard somebody say,
relationship with God.
Yeah, I heard somebody say one time, sitting in a church is not going to make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage will make you a car. You know, it's just,
yeah.
There's something more that has to take place.
And just because we're believers doesn't give us the right not to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And trust Jesus in our lives. That's where the works comes in.
Yeah. Well,
trusting the Lord to work in our hearts and our lives.
Yeah.
And let him have his way, eh?
Yeah. The Bible says we're created unto good works, which God hath before ordained. What is that? Ephesians 2.
We should walk in them.
Yeah, Ephesians. I'll go back to that real quick because it's too good to pass up here. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. This is Ephesians 2, verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I mean, that pretty much tells you right there. We get saved and God's got stuff for us to do. He's already planning for it.
That's why I don't believe in the candy coated gospel. Just say a few words and then
no,
just go about your business like as if you didn't.
Yeah.
God wants, expects us to live for him and walk after his counsel.
There has to be a change in the heart. And, you know, that takes a work of the Holy Spirit to open up our mind to see our lost condition, to understand the truth of the gospel. And then that's where God steps back and gives us the choice. Will you believe or will you not believe? If we choose to believe, then immediately the Spirit of God takes up residence in our heart. We're sealed until the day of redemption. And our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity. I mean, what a wonderful promise. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're in my hand, and no one can take you out of my hand. You can't even take yourself out of his hand. Where are you going to go? You're in his hand. And so...
Once he's got a hold of you.
Yeah. Let me see if I've got this here somewhere. We were finishing up a study in church this morning, in our morning Bible study. And let's see here. Here it is. This doctrine of the safety. Keep in mind, this was said back in 1916, okay? The pastor M.E. Dodd of the First Baptist Church of Shreveport, Louisiana, in 1916, he made this statement. This doctrine of the safety of the child of God encourages the holiest living among God's children, for it has behind it the holiest and mightiest of all motives that control the hearts of men and women. It has behind it the great motive of love. If I can be saved by the grace of God and he is responsible for my salvation and he has given me his word that he will save me and all we are to do is to leave it to him out of love and gratitude to him, I will give him the deepest and most consecrated service of my life for what he has done for me. And that's a tremendous statement, isn't it?
That was the greatest love that Jesus ever did to die for us on the cross.
He loved it. Like somebody said, how much did Jesus love us? He loved us this much. He opened up his arms and died for us.
What greater love does a man? There's a scripture.
What greater love? He dies for his friend.
His life for his friend.
Life for his friend. Yeah, and Jesus did it for his enemies, not just his friends. Yeah. He did something man can't do. But this idea of the love that God has for us, and we rest in his love, and we obey him not out of fear that we'll lose our salvation, but out of the love that we have for what he's done for us.
Right, and we should be thankful for that every day.
Absolutely. And, you know, think about it. You know, there's, I was talking about this when we were going through this. You know, anybody that's been in the military, you understand the idea of being motivated by fear. When you're in basic training, your basic motivation is fear. You can continue to motivate people through fear. There are some people who never stop using fear to motivate people. That's one way to motivate people. But then,
I'll throw in North Korea, for instance.
But you should be able to reach the point where duty takes over. You're motivated by a sense of duty, you know. But above and beyond motivated by duty is when you're motivated by love. Oh, you can do all kinds of stuff because you're afraid of the consequences, because you're afraid of the person who's asking you or telling you. Or you can do stuff because you feel, well, I don't really want to do it, but it's my duty. I'm duty bound. But when you reach the point where you do stuff because you love someone, you love your country, you love your family, you love, you know, something, you do it out of love, you will put up with more things and sacrifice more out of love than either fear or duty.
I love the truth of God's word.
Well, John 14:15, I think it is, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
That should be the biggest motivating factor. And see, that's where the Arminians that believe you could lose your salvation have a problem. They're ultimately motivated by fear, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid. I might not hold on. I might fail.
That ties in with other denominations like the Pentecostals are like that too.
Yeah.
And that's just that, I used to have that kind of fear.
Yeah.
Afraid that every time I sin, I thought, oh, I'm done. God,
yeah.
I'm
well, yeah. You don't even have to be an Arminian for that. You're afraid of the consequences. Hey, I hear the music there, right. Terry. We're running out of time quickly, but yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, we can pick this up again in a future time. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, Terry, thanks so much. And God bless. Thanks for being with us. And don't everybody go away. We've got another half hour to go. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Live with Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and glad you're with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs, Sunday night programs, Friday afternoon programs. You can read articles that I have there. You can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And we'd certainly like to have you visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We've got services every Sunday. Our 11 o'clock service, I'm currently preaching through the book of James. in our 6 o'clock Sunday evening service. I'm currently preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes. And then every Friday night, we have an informal Bible study every Friday night from 7 to 9. I'd love to have you come out and visit us sometime at Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And let's see, I also want to mention, too, that you can, I think I mentioned the articles we have there, and so I was thinking about something here, so I wanted to mention, too, before I forget, I don't know if anybody was watching, but during our Friday night Bible study, it was kind of hard there a little bit at one time to kind of, our attention was being drawn away, the exciting thing with the splashdown of the Artemis II crew, their trip around the moon, a historic trip, the furthest that human beings have traveled from the Earth. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Al. The Apollo missions, they went around the moon then on some of the Apollo missions. How can you say it's the furthest? Well, it has to do with the trajectory of their orbit and the distance of the moon from the Earth and a variety of things like that. But it marked the furthest that human beings have traveled away from the Earth, and they came back. And we had somebody who's kind of given us a little updates periodically during our Bible study on Friday night, and it put me in mind of the Apollo missions. I remember when I was young, and we were watching, you know, leading up to, I believe it was Apollo 11, when Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon, getting out, and one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, which actually was a misspoke thing, and that's the way it came out. And I think it was supposed to be originally one small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind, but he said one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. And it was really kind of neat watching that. I was pretty young at the time, but I think it was 1969, and we had I believe it was 6 more missions after that. I think, what was it? We had through all the way through Apollo 17, Apollo 13, of course, a near tragedy there, and they barely made it back to Earth alive. So we had Apollo 11 through 17 were missions to the moon, but only 6 of them, I guess, were able to go through with it. And we went to the moon. One of the things that the Artemis II trip around the moon showed was pictures of some of the previous lunar landing sites on the moon, and you could see some of the land, the things that were left behind. Because remember, one of them, I forget which one it was, they had the moon buggy that was there, the lunar rover, and I can remember thinking that was pretty cool when I was a kid. And of course, we didn't bring that back; it was left, and there were other things that were left behind on the moon, and it was kind of neat to see the pictures showing that. And It brought to my mind several things. There was a particular individual on the flight, the NASA pilot Victor Glover, and Victor Glover is an interesting person. He actually is a born again Christian. He was a U.S. Navy aviator. That's what he was, and so he was the pilot on the mission there. And he as a born again Christian, he actually took a Bible on the trip with them, and he was reading from the Bible during the trip. Actually, when they went around the backside of the moon, he actually was talking about some things on the Bible, and then they went into an area where it's kind of like radio silence because of their position with the moon between the Earth and the Artemis II thing there. And he had on April 5th, which of course Easter Sunday, he had an interview with CBS News while traveling around the moon, and he made the statement, when I read the Bible and I look at all the amazing things that were done for us, you know, this amazing place, this spaceship called Earth that was created to give us a place to live. And he basically was calling attention to the fact that God created the heavens and the earth, and about how the magnificence, you know, you think about it in Psalm 19, where it says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And This is a parallel to Apollo 8 in 1968 when astronauts Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman took turns reading on Christmas Eve. They were doing a lunar orbit, and they read the first 10 verses from the King James Bible during a live Christmas Eve broadcast from lunar orbit. And just absolutely interesting when you think about this. And yet, there's still, to this day, there are people who don't believe that we ever went to the moon. There are people who believe that it's all a fake, the lunar landing was fake, and we never went there. Which, it's kind of interesting when you think about that, because if we fake the lunar landing, why did we fake it six times? You know, and also, if we fake the lunar landing, why didn't the Russians during that time frame prove that we faked it? It wouldn't have been hard to prove it, but of course, they accepted the fact that we beat them to the moon. And we've had a number of Christians who have been in space. The 10th person the 10th person to walk on the moon was Charles Duke. And this was in 1972 on the Apollo 16 mission. I think it's the second to the last mission to the moon. And he was not a born-again Christian while he was there in 1972, but later on in 1978, he actually became a born-again Christian, and he actually, you know, cited some of the things that he learned and some of his experiences, which were instrumental in him coming to faith in Christ. Well, he was asked in a question one time about, is the Earth flat, and regarding to the flat earthers, and about moon landings being a hoax. And this is what Charles Duke responded. He said this. He says, "I was the lunar module pilot on Apollo 16 mission to the moon. We launched from Kennedy Space Center in Florida on April 16, 1972. We left Earth orbit for our three-day trip to the moon about 3 hours later. As we maneuvered our spacecraft to dock with our lunar module, the Earth came into view about 20,000 miles away. It was an awesome sight, as you can see in the photo," and there is a photo with the article that they had taken of the Earth. He said, "It is obviously a sphere and not a flat circle. As we journeyed to the moon, we could look out our windows and see a smaller Earth, and each time we would see different land masses, so it was obviously rotating on its axis." He continues, "Some people are questioning the fact that we landed on the moon, alleging that it is a big hoax. Well, we did land on the moon six times, and the evidences are overwhelming. If we faked the landing, why did we fake it six times?" And that's a very good point. Why did they fake it all these times? And why didn't the Russians prove that they faked it? But here's a guy that later became a born-again Christian, and he was more than willing to say. And
another thing, though, is not why did we fake it another six times. Why didn't we just continue to fake it?
Well, you know, that's a good point.
Why haven't we been back since?
Hey, you know, we did the TV series Space 1999 after all of this.
Yeah.
Why didn't we just tell people that was real?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess that people would have looked out and realized the moon was still there. I guess maybe that's. But you know, but here's the thing. It's there's these people who did that. I remember going to a thing, this is about 20 years ago. I hadn't been out of the Air Force, I'd been out of the Air Force, but I hadn't been back from the mission field. My wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands and in the 1990s, and I hadn't been back from there that long. And I was at some healthcare seminar, and there was this guy there, and he just, you know, sometimes people have this look about them, you know, that they're just not, yeah, firing all cylinders.
They just kind of glazed over look.
Kind of like a crazed look. You know, not just glazed, but crazed. And he looks at me, and he's going on about something. And then I had an Air Force hat on. And he looks at my hat, and I could see him focus on my hat. And keep in mind, this is a healthcare seminar. Nothing about space or anything. He fixates on my hat for a few seconds, pauses, and then looks at me with this crazed expression on his face, and he goes, "And we never went to the moon."
What?
I said, "What has that got to do with anything? We're not even talking about that." And I looked back at him and said, "You know, I know that we did from my time in the Air Force, and I have reason to believe we never left." And I turned around and walked away. I just remember him looking at me like, whoa, what was that? But I don't know, but it's been a long time getting back there, and I guess they've got things planned for somebody to get back there. But this idea that we've not been there, I remember, and I've seen all the things. I saw the movie Capricorn One. Did you ever see that movie, Kenny?
No, what's that one?
It's an interesting movie. It was done in the early 80s, maybe, and they were supposed to do a mission to Mars, and something happened, and they couldn't do it, so they faked it. But the spacecraft, I guess, that they had sent on, and they took the people off before it went because they were having some problem. Well, the spacecraft blew up, but the people were still on Earth, if I remember the story correctly. And so here's the problem. They didn't want to admit that they faked the Martian landing. So
did they hunt down and kill?
Well, that was what they were going to try to do, but some of them escaped, and they were having like a big funeral with military honors for the people on the Capricorn 1 mission when, if I remember correctly, it's been a long time since I saw this movie, some of the crew that was on there that had escaped and survived and escaped the people trying to kill them, they come running through the cemetery toward where the funeral is, and then the cameras turn around, and then there they are.
Almost like the conspiracy theories with the Challenger.
Yeah, yeah.
There's conspiracy theories with that where they say, oh, no, they're all still alive and living under different aliases. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, and things like that will come up. But here's the thing with the moon. There are people on Earth using telescopes that have looked up and seen things on the moon that we put there, and there are reflectors on the moon that you can bounce laser and radar signals off from, and you know, reflectors, and so it's not like you got to take NASA's word for it, and they can say anything they want to. But the other thing I'm getting at too is when we look at some of these people that were there, such as Victor Glover and this other guy, what was it, Charles Duke, I think was his name, that are now Christians that have attested to the fact that we've been to these places. There was another individual. Let me see if I can find him really quick here. I gotta flip through my computer and find this. Oh, let's see here. There was another guy who was, you had the guy that was on, remember that guy that went up onto the space station? He was only supposed to be for like 10 days. He's up there for almost a year.
Stuck. Yeah.
Well, he's a born again Christian. He says he was in space and he saw some of these things. And, so you've got people like that all attest to the fact that not only is the Earth not flat, but the moon is up there, and that people have traveled in space and things of that nature. I can't find the name of that other guy here. He'll probably come to me after the program. He had taken a number of pictures while he was on the space station and about the Earth, and showed very clearly the Earth is a sphere. And while we're on about that, the flat earthers claim that the Earth is a round disc and it's flat. And uh, they They claim that in Isaiah 40, verses 22 and 23, where it says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity." And they say, well, this is a flat disc, not a sphere. And because if you look at a flat disc from the above, what do you see? You see a circle. Well, yeah, that's good proof, because when you look at a sphere from above, you know, take a basketball and sit it down on the ground and go up in a building, like, say, third, fourth, fifth floor, and look down at the basketball, what do you see? You see a circle. So it's the same argument. But what about when you look at a sphere from the side? You see a circle. What happens when you see a disc from the side? Well, you don't see a circle. You see a rectangular shape, perhaps, or maybe one that's kind of bowed in the center or something, but you don't see a circle. Only a sphere is a circle from any side, any direction that you look at it. And, it's kind of interesting when you think about this. And also, flat earthers like to say the Bible talks about the foundations of the earth. And they're running through a couple of things here. Let me just back up here a second. I was looking at something here. Here in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, and they'll say this proves the earth is flat. It's a flat sphere, a circle, okay? Now, keep in mind, it's crucial for the point here. It's a circle. It's a flat disc. Well, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "After these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree," okay? Now, let's go to second verse, Revelation 20, verse 8. "And shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." And here's a third verse. The third verse is in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Now, Kenny, you understand a little bit of geometry, don't you?
A little bit.
You got public school education? I
mean, yeah. Wasn't my strong suit.
Well,
but,
do you know
yeah.
the difference between circles and squares and triangles?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
That's basic.
That's good.
That's not geometry. That's kindergarten.
How many? Well, for some of these people, it's advanced. How many corners does a circle have? We need the music.
1, 2, 3, 0.
Correct.
All right.
Correct. How many? Well, here's what we had. Revelation 7:11 and Isaiah 11, verse 12, all talked about the earth having four corners.
Mm-hmm.
If the flat earthers are consistent, where do they come up with a circle, a disc? It should be a square platter.
Yeah.
I mean, I had
a cube at the very least. I mean,
well, but if it's flat, we're going for flat.
We're going for flat. Yeah.
Okay. So I have this toaster oven in our house, and I like toaster ovens. They're handy. You can do things with them you can't do with a microwave.
Yeah.
And like crisp up leftover French fries or something.
Or leftover pizza.
Or leftover pizza. Yeah.
I would love for a toaster oven here.
I have a pan that goes in there, and I think it's 12 by 12. It's a square pan.
Mm-hmm.
When I put that pan in there, it's got four corners because mm-hmm. it's a square. I also have a round pan, like a large pie pan sort of thing. It's a circular pan. It's got no corners.
No.
So if I was to believe the earth is flat, and I was to look at these verses, the four corners of the earth, there's no way I could call it a circle or a disc.
No.
I'd have to call it like a flat tray,
mm-hmm.
a square tray,
yeah.
maybe rectangular, I guess.
It could be rectangular. Way, there's rectangular. Four corners on a rectangle as well.
Yeah, but for appearance sake, it would look better and balance better as a square. So let's go with the square. So it's a square. And so when you look at Revelation 20, verse 8, where it talks about the four quarters of the earth, you know, I understand you could divide a circle, I suppose, in quarters, but you usually think of quarters, the northeast quarter, the southeast quarter, the southwest quarter, the northwest quarter. You know, you think of something kind of squarish, usually with the quarters, you know. And I'm thinking the old way of locating stuff on a map using, like, geographical maps, using township and range coordinates, and you would say this thing is located in the southeast quarter of township, you know, 16 range 5, you know, or section one of township 16 range 5, and you're thinking of a squarish shape. So, you know, these verses seem to sound that way, but then of course they're stuck with the idea of a circle in another part. So how do you square the circle, so to speak? Yeah, well, you just ignore the verses that say four corners. Well, the four corners, it's actually metaphorical. The four directions, the four cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west, which by the way, do you know what news actually means? You know, you go to get your news. What is that? N-E-W-S. Everything from the north, the east, the west, and the south. Right, there it is. News, north, east, west, and south. Well, we understand that the four corners of the earth is referring metaphorically to the four cardinal directions, and the four quarters of the earth, that's very easy too, because, you know, we have the northern hemisphere, the southern hemisphere, the eastern hemisphere, the western hemisphere. Those would be in halves, but if you take the eastern part of the northern hemisphere, I guess you could call it the northeastern quarter of the earth. So there's ways that you can fit, but it fits with the sphere of the earth very well as well. But another thing that's interesting is there's a word for sphere in Hebrew, which is D-U-W-R, and they claim that the word is not used in some of these. And of course, the word for circle isn't either, and all that. I we're running out of time. I don't have time to go through all of this, but fact of the matter is, you know, in Job, it's talking about the earth being a sphere, a circle, hanging on nothing. And that's what these Christians who have been in space have seen. And then, of course, you know, to me, the absolute proof, incontrovertible proof that the earth is not flat. I have cats. I got four cats. If the earth was flat, the cats would have knocked everything off it by now. So that's just, to me, that's the end of the question right there. Well, there's a whole lot more you can talk about that, but we're out of time. I want to thank people for listening, and God bless. Thank you for the safe return of the Artemis II astronauts. Have a great week. Join us again next time. God bless.
You just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit the website livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at latenightlivewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. or next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday at 7. You can connect with Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 p.m. and right here again next Sunday night from 10 p.m. to midnight for Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.